If you please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. Last week we began our new series on the challenge and power of one. And if you were here last week, you already know what that's all about. The challenge and power of one is a series of five commitments that we are considering making this year as a church and as individuals. All five of these commitments relate directly to our purpose and our vision as a church. You will find all five commitments listed on the insert on your bulletin. It's on the back side of the sermon outline, so they're all there for you. By the way, let me encourage you, if you've not already done so, to take that insert and post it somewhere where you will see it each day. Maybe on your refrigerator. Most of us do go to the refrigerator each day, right? Or maybe on your dresser, by the mirror, on your desk. But put it someplace where you will see it throughout the week as a reminder of the commitments that we are looking at together as a church. But let's read through these five commitments again at this time. So let me read it with you. With God's help, I commit to do the following this year. Number one, worship one day weekly with my church family. Number two, serve in one ministry capacity in my church family. Number three, cultivate one friendship with a non-believer for Christ. Number four, give one regular portion of my income for the work of the church. And then number five, participate in one regular small group setting for prayer, growth, and fellowship. Now, you remember what we said last week. We want to consider these commitments one at a time. We're not asking anybody to look at all five and go, check, 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 right down the list, right? So we're looking one at a time. Last week, we looked at worship. We talked about what worship is and the importance of worshiping God together as a family. And together we consider that first commitment from the challenge and power of one. With God's help, I commit to worshiping one day weekly with my church family. And a number of you made that commitment. You looked at that, you prayed about that, and you said, yes, I'm going to do that. And you're here today. Praise God. And that's wonderful. When it comes to attendance at church, it's not the numbers themselves that are important. Okay, let's never forget that. But it's the people. People are. You are important, and it's so important and so good that you are here today. And I pray that God will continue to grow the number of people who come to worship here at Plantation Community Church. This week, we move on now to commitment number two, serving in the church. God calls us not only to worship Him together as a family, but also to serve and love one another in the body of Christ. Look at our scripture now, Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 13. Please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we consider this second commitment this morning, Lord, I pray that you would take this passage of scripture and others that we'll be looking at this morning, and Lord, help us to respond to your word as you would have us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So what's all this talk about serving in the church? I mean, I thought church was all about what the church can do for me, not what I can do for the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy church. I wouldn't miss it. I enjoy the worship service. I like the songs. I feel close to God when we pray. I like it when the kids come up forward and Pastor Kevin does that message with them. I look forward to getting something out of the message. I enjoy the fellowship time. It's good to catch up with people over a donut and a cup of coffee. I like it when we do those big events in the church, too, like the picnic or the fall festival, or when we do a float in the parade. It's great seeing everybody come together like that. So it's not that I don't like church. I just don't know about this whole service thing. I don't really know if there's anything I could do for the church anyways. Besides, you have no idea how busy I am. I work umpteen hours a week. I've got a home to keep up. I have outside interests as well. My time is limited. There's only so much I can do. I guess if I was completely honest, I would have to say I would just rather show up and enjoy what the church has to offer than to get involved in service myself. Now, hopefully that's not your pastor speaking, okay? But have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? I've got to tell you, there are a whole lot of people in churches all across the country who feel exactly that way. And they may never come right out and say it or express it that clearly. I don't know if any of us would dare to do that, right? But that is exactly how they feel about church. Inside, they're saying church is not about what I can do for the church, but what the church can do for me. And they're not interested in service in the church, but only in what the church has to offer them. Well, let me share with you this morning, one of the things the church has to offer you is the opportunity to serve. And if you already enjoy church without serving, then I've got some great news for you this morning. Because church life only gets better the more you get involved. It's like anything in life. The more you put into something, right, the more you get out of it. The church is a family. And if you're not involved in service in the church, it's really hard to feel like you're a part of the family. But once you get involved in service, once you begin to find your place, that's when you'll find that you love your church family even more than you did before. So this morning we're going to talk about serving in your church family. And I want us to look at three biblical reasons why everyone should find a place of service in the church. Why should you serve your church family? We're going to look at three reasons this morning. They're all in your bulletin if you want to take that outline out. To follow along or to jot down some notes. But here are the three reasons. Number one, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Number two, God has given you gifts for service. And number three, everyone needs to do their part. So let's start with reason number one. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. We read that verse earlier from Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I want you to stop and think about that verse for a minute. Because that verse should really just stun us in so many ways. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible tells us he was with God in the beginning, and he was God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. All things were made to do what? To serve God and his glory. And so as the Son of God, when Jesus came into our world as a human being, Jesus had every right to come into our world expecting to be served. And by all rights, we should have waited on him hand and foot, tending to all of his needs as a human being now, putting his needs before our own. That was Jesus' right as the Son of God. But when Jesus came into the world, what did he do? He put all of his rights as God aside. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says this about Jesus, that although he was in very nature God, that's who he is, although in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It puts it this way. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. You see, as the Son of God, Jesus had every right to be served rather than to serve. But what did he do? He willingly set his rights aside. And as Philippians 2:7 goes on to say, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of what? A servant. Jesus Christ set aside his rights as God when he came into the world. And instead, he came as a servant. And you wonder, well, why did Jesus do that? Why did he set aside his rights? And why did he come serving rather than being served? And Jesus answered that question for us the very night of the Last Supper. When he met with his disciples in an upper room, the Gospels tell us that they gathered together to share the Passover meal. It was customary in that day and culture that you would wash your feet upon entering someone's home, and especially if you're going to share a meal together. Right? People didn't have closed shoes like they did now. They didn't have paved roads. You came in, your feet were filthy and smelly, and that's just the way it was. This was often the job of a household servant when guests came to the house because no one else would want to do it. Well, apparently there were no servants available that night. So Jesus and his disciples sat down at the table together with unwashed feet. And then we read this in John chapter 13, that Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. I'm sure they would have said, "No, we have no idea what you've just done. We don't understand this at all." So he told them, he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus was teacher and Lord, and once again, by all rights, those rights that Jesus set aside, remember, he didn't cling to his rights, by all rights, the disciples should have washed his feet. But Jesus washed the disciples' feet to set an example for them so that they might serve others. Now let's jump back to Philippians chapter 2. This time I want us to back all the way up to verse 5 so that we can read Paul's full instructions to the Philippians here. Verse 5 says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." Why should you care about serving others? Because your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus, who set aside his rights as God, who took the very nature of a servant, who set the example for you that you should do as he did. What's the first reason why we should serve one another in the body of Christ? Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Another reason you should serve your church family is that God has given you gifts for service. And I want us to go back to Ephesians 4, verses 7 and following. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Now, I want you to notice those two words you find at the beginning of verse 7, okay? Verse 7, what are those words? Each one. Verse 7 says, "To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." In other words, God has given each one of us gifts and abilities to serve him and to serve each other. Each one of you has certain talents and skills and abilities which you can use to serve God and to serve the church. And if you are a Christian, the Bible tells us God has also given you spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are those special gifts God gives to believers in Christ through the Holy Spirit for the specific purpose of serving the church. But whether we're talking about spiritual gifts or natural talents or learned skills, all of these are gifts that come from God. And God desires you to use the gifts he has given you in order to serve others. Now, Ephesians 4 goes on to talk about apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And we're probably most familiar with that final category of pastor and teacher. That's what we see most in the church today. And many of us have this mistaken idea that it's the pastor teacher, the pastors, that are supposed to do all the work of the church, while everyone else just shows up. But this passage in Ephesians 4 and others we could look at tells us nothing could be further from the truth. Look at the passage again. Why did God give the pastors and teachers to the church? In order to prepare God's people for works of service. In other words, the pastor's job is not to do the work of the ministry, but to prepare God's people to do the work of the ministry. The pastor teacher is called to equip God's people for works of service. So, for example, in our church, we have 3 pastors, but we have many ministers. Everyone is called to minister or serve in the church. To each one, there's those words again, to each one, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. You might say, well, what am I supposed to do? I can't teach the Bible. I don't sing. I don't like getting up in front of people. How can I possibly serve the church? A lot of people wonder that. But here's the thing. God has given you gifts for service, and everyone, each one, can do something. There's a yellow insert in your bulletin. I'd like you to take that out at this time, where we've listed many different opportunities for service here at PCC. Under children or youth, we need help, nursery volunteers, children's Sunday school, Awana clubs, youth group helper, VBS director or worker, recreation or games. You might look at that and say, oh, wow, I could do one of those. Or, you know, man, I didn't know we needed help there. I could do that. We have events at the church. We need people to help organize and promote or decorate, cooking or serving food, to set up or to break down. Boy, what a huge help that is. You might say, well, I could do that. Perhaps your gifts are in the area of hospitality. We need people to help provide meals when people are in need. Small group hosts to help with our seniors ministry. How about miscellaneous skills like arts or crafts, sewing or gardening, carpentry, electrical, plumbing, computers, photography? We could probably go on there. There's so many different ways that you can serve your church family. Perhaps your heart is in missions or outreach. You could help with evangelism, with our missions team, with visitation, with the food pantry. Perhaps you have musical gifts. We have a praise team. We have a choir. We have handbells. We have an orchestra. People minister in special music. People help accompany on various instruments. Sometimes we need office help, someone to help answer the phones or help with the bulletins. Perhaps you have gifts with finance or accounting. Perhaps you have a heart of prayer and you'd like to be in our prayer chain to pray for needs in real time as they come up in our church family or to join in Sunday morning prayer as we gather together in the church office to pray for our church and to pray for our services. All sorts of needs on Sunday morning worship service, ushers, greeters, scripture readers, helping with communion setup, helping with the sound system, with the video or the slides, drama. Sometimes we do drama from time to time. We haven't done that for a while. Well, maybe some people got involved with that, said, hey, I want to put that together. We could incorporate that in. Perhaps you have gifts of teaching. Well, we have adult Sunday school as well as kids Sunday school, Bible studies, the need for small group leaders, one-to-one discipleship. Perhaps you would like to serve on our preschool board if you have a heart for education. These are some of the many ways that you can serve in our church family. And what I would encourage you to do is to take this sheet and to look this over. This isn't something for you to check off and to hand in. This is something for you to go through and check off for yourself and then to pray over that. And say, God, where would you have me to serve? Because here's the thing, everyone can do something. And God has given you gifts for service, and he expects you to use them in the service of the church. So why should you serve your church family? We've looked at two reasons so far. Number one, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Number two, God has given you gifts for service. And now number three, everyone needs to do their part. For here, I want us to go back to Ephesians 4:16. This is the verse we looked at last week. This is actually our theme verse for this entire series of the challenge and power of one. And Ephesians 4:16 says this, "From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And so here Paul's using an illustration, isn't he? He's using the illustration of the human body to teach us about the church body. And what do we know about the human body? It's joined, it's held together by all of these supporting ligaments, and every part is important. And unless each part does its work, what happens? The whole body flounders, the whole thing falls apart. If the eyes and the hands and the legs all decide, you know what, we're not going to do anything this month, well, you and I'd be in trouble, wouldn't we, right? The whole body suffers. And it's the same thing with the church. The body of Christ can only grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. Everyone needs to do their part. There's an old maxim in the church, in the typical church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I've been in a lot of churches over the years, and I'd have to say, unfortunately, that is pretty accurate. And unfortunately, two things happen. Neither of them are good. Two things happen when only 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. And the first thing that happens is this, is the church does not fulfill its potential. The church does not do all the things that it could possibly do. Because 20% of the people can only do so much. And what so often happens then is that things either get left undone or never even started. And new ministries that might have sprung up in the church never see the light of day because the church is struggling just to keep the most basic of ministries going. And so the first thing that happens is the church never fulfills its true potential as a church. And that's sad. The second thing that happens is that people get burned out. Already overloaded people take on new tasks because nobody else will. And they eventually get burned out in the process. It's not easy for the 20% who are carrying 80% of the load. Now, I've got to tell you, in my experience, in the various churches I've been in, they usually carry that load cheerfully and with very little complaining because they love God, they love their church, and they love to serve. But it would be so much easier if everyone worked together. Now, obviously, we do not want the church doing less than it should. And we don't want individual people doing more than they should. So what's the answer? The answer is simple. Everyone needs to do their part. And the body of Christ can only function in a healthy manner when everyone contributes. And so that's what this second commitment in our challenge and power of one is all about. With God's help, I commit to serving in one ministry capacity in my church family this year. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, that's an easy commitment. I'm already serving in 12 ministry capacities in my church family this year. And if you are, thank you for your service, but you're doing too much because others of us are not serving at all. Perhaps that's because you never even thought about serving at the church. Or perhaps you didn't know that you could serve in the church. You didn't know what you could do in the church. So my hope is that today's message has shown you that, yes, you can serve your church family. That, yes, there are lots of different ways to serve. That if we all pitch together, it would not only lighten the load for those who are serving so much in so many areas, but it would also open up new opportunities for us to minister as a church family. In order for the church to grow and build itself up in love, everyone needs to do their part. So, are you ready to make commitment number two? Like I said, we're just taking these one at a time. If you are, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that commitment to God when we close in prayer in just a minute. And then I would encourage you to do three things. Okay, ready? First of all, if you make that commitment today, I would encourage you to share with at least one other person that you made this commitment. Same thing we encouraged you last week with commitment number one. In fact, if you made commitment number one and you already shared that with one other person for accountability and to be encouraged, you can share it with the same person if you want. You don't have to spread them out among five different people. It's probably easier just to share with the same person. Say, you know what? I made commitment one last week. I'm signing up for commitment two this week as well. That's the first thing. Secondly, I would encourage you this week to look over this list, once again, to identify the various ways that you could serve. Check them all off. Once again, you're not handing this in, so it's not like you're going to get 20 different calls from 20 different people in the church, because we don't want to overload you either. But check off all the different ways that you said, you know, I could serve there, I could serve there. Yeah, God's given me gifts there. Oh, I have an interest there. Think of the gifts that God's given you. How can I use those to serve my church? Check them off and then pray about them. Pray through those and say, God, how would you have me to serve this year? Ask God where he would have you to serve. And then number three, step forward. Choose one area to serve. That's all we're asking, one area to serve, and then do it. You go, well, how do I get from here to there? You talk to me, talk to Pastor Kevin, talk to one of our deacons, talk to Pastor Dan, talk to someone in the church and say, hey, I'd like to serve in this area. If it seems to fall under the deacon of worship or deacon of outreach, you can talk specifically to them. Or maybe if you see someone else doing a task and you say, hey, I'd like to help with that, go and talk to them and say, hey, how did you get involved? How can I help with this as well? And they'll get you to the right people. But the important thing here is to make that commitment and then to get involved. To have the same attitude as Jesus, who came to serve, not to be served. Because God has given you gifts for service, and everyone needs to do their part. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, I know that this is not a hard commitment for some people. They've been serving all their, well, not all their lives, but for a long time in the church. And they've already learned the joy and the benefit of that. And they feel very much a part of their church family. But Lord, I know for some of us, we've never done this. Maybe nobody's ever challenged us before. Maybe we've gotten comfortable with just coming and receiving each week. Now, Lord, your Spirit is talking to us through your word and in our hearts, saying it's time to give back. It's time to get involved. It's time to be a part of my church family. Lord, you are sovereign, and you've given your gifts in such a variety of ways to each of us and in so many different ways. And Lord, there are so many areas we've highlighted on this insert this morning. And Lord, I just trust that you're going to take this and work different things into each of our hearts. And as people step forward, that we will see the ministries that we already have strengthened and fully supported. And that out of this, that you will also birth new ministries and new opportunities. And that you would indeed help us to grow as a church in the purposes that you have for us. Lord, help us with these first two commitments we've looked at, to worship weekly with my church family, to be here, Lord, to be a part, to offer you up the worship that you are so worthy to receive. Now, Lord, not simply to come to worship you, but now to serve each other and to serve your church. Help us as we seek to grow and to be all that we can be as a church for you, Lord, to fulfill the potential that we have in the people that you have brought here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.